Hello, Wiseal fans. Welcome to season 2, episode number 3 of the Wiseal podcast with your Wiseal for this evening on the 16th of December, 9 days until Christmas. I would say this is probably the Christmas special. And yes, it's me, the Wiseal, Harry Edwards, once again, coming to you with this episode, which you can probably tell by the title, I'm probably going to go off on one a bit here. Now, before I go into it, I kind of want to just, once again, thank everybody for tuning in and supporting me on this channel. And anybody who's been a long, like, follower of my podcast has always probably seen that I've always been about positivity and backing everyone as much as we possibly can. And even though I'm about to go on a bit of a rant here, I still believe that. I still believe that positive attitude brings positive moments in your life. And I think that is the same for football as well. Now, obviously, over the past few games, it's been pretty tragic. And finding that positivity is starting to become harder and harder. It's still there, because obviously I'm still a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I'm not giving up on Wednesday. But I'm sure for everybody who's listening and everybody out there who even isn't listening, anybody who's a Wednesday fan, it's currently really hard for us. So this one, also before I get into it, I just want to let you guys know there's going to be quite a lot of swearing in this. And anybody who doesn't like swearing, then that's fine. I probably won't listen to it after this point. I normally don't like to swear, even though I would probably say I swear quite a lot in real life, which is a bad thing for me. I don't like that, but I do. But this is going to be full of it. And it's going to have some pretty honest opinions. But I feel like I need to get it out there. I feel like I need to vent after obviously yesterday's performance against Notts Forest. And maybe I am a little bit over the top in this podcast, but hey-ho. So get ready for this one, folks. So, where do we start? Well, let's start with the name and the title of this podcast, which is What is Wrong with Sheffield Wednesday? Now, if I went into complete detail, we'd probably be here for hours and hours on end, but I'm going to try and summarise the best I possibly can. Now, if you listen to some of my previous podcasts, you can kind of determine that I believe that clubs are normally made up of four different areas which make a club good and not very good. You have the chairman, who obviously brings the money in and all that stuff, and the business side of things. You have the management team, which is obviously the manager as well as the coaching staff. You have the players, and then you have the fans. If you have all four, you've got a very good club. If you don't have any of them, you've got a bad club. You look at teams such as Manchester City. They've got a good chairman who brings in a lot of money. They've got a great manager in Pep. They've got fantastic players. But they haven't really got very good fans. You look at teams like Rotherham United. The chairman don't really have a lot of money, but he loves the club. The manager's not the best. The players aren't the best, but they have very good fans. And they're all dedicated to their role in making Rotherham United a better club. Now, for us, it's very intricate. You can't just say they're bad and they're good. I think it's very intricate with Wednesday. And it's difficult to get your head around when you really delve into it further. And I think that's why the frustration comes out. But from what I saw on Twitter, especially, and I also saw last night, is that I've never seen such a togetherness in the club since the Wembley final. But unfortunately, it's a bad togetherness. Everyone's together because everyone is fed up of the shit that is going on. Fed up of how shite we play every week. How the management and the coaching staff isn't getting any better. The players have got worse over time. The chairman's not listening to the fans and so on and so forth. And Last night, yeah, I had an absolute massive headache from just watching that game against Forest. Now, to be honest, it wasn't the worst performance. The one against Rotherham, we were shite. We were all over the place. And the game before Notts Forest against Norwich, we were terrible as well. To be fair to us, last night that we were trying to play football. Unfortunately, we're playing dinosaur football, which isn't creating us the chances. Now, there's a lot of things which obviously went on last night, and a lot of things that have happened over the course of the past year or so to really knock me off and knock a lot of other fans off. Now, a lot of people think that the chairman, Chanterai, is not doing it for the fans and he needs to go. People think that Pulis isn't good enough and needs to go. The players aren't good enough and need to go. And this is causing a hostile fan environment where people will go to the games and just moan and not back the team and not back the players and support them. So in bad times like this, there's nobody that the players or the manager can rely on in the fan base to help them out. So, where do I start? Which is the problem? I'm trying to think of who to drill into first. Maybe let's go with the players first, because I think that's probably easier to do. God, it's just so frustrating. It's so frustrating. I'm sure you all were last night, but the players are just not good enough. I really, really have tried to back them, but they are not good enough. You can definitely see. So, if you think about the keepers, excuse me, I've got a very sore voice today. I think because I was shouting all last night. But the keepers, you've got Kieran Westwood, who all the fan base for some reason were really like bumming off Kieran Westwood coming back and thinking, oh, that's going to change everything. When I never thought he would. I mean, in his day, yeah, he was the best keeper in the league. But he's old as fuck now. He's so old. There's no reason for him to still be here. He's obviously not good enough. He's injured himself with 1.5 games back in, which was so fucking frustrating. I think Cameron Dawson is shite. He is definitely not Wednesday level. To be fair to him, he's a Wednesday fan and he obviously, you can tell, he's really passionate about the club. And he tries, but obviously in being a keeper, you can't really change your game. And unless you're a top quality keeper, that's the only way you probably can stop a game from going in the other team's favour. But he's not good enough. He got loaned out to Wickham when they were in League Two, and then he came in our first team after. He's just not. He would be a good third choice keeper, but he shouldn't get anywhere near the fucking starting 11. You look at Wildsmith. To be honest, Wildsmith, I do genuinely rate him as a player, but he's too small, and again, not good enough for Wednesday. Again, someone who would be a good third choice keeper. You need two better keepers. Maybe in the Championship, possibly push him a look a bit there. Having him as a backup keeper probably wouldn't be terrible. But none of those three keepers should be in our starting lineup. They are not good enough. And Wildsmith, obviously, with his height, you look at other small-heighted keepers, like Pickford, how well have they done? Not very. Pickford gets robbed. The only reason why he did pretty well a few seasons ago, because he was a decent shot stopper. But is he England level? No. It's just, so keepers, for me, they're not good enough. I think Westwood needs to go. I think Dawson needs to go. And Wildsmith, probably you could keep, but maybe you could keep Dawson as well, possibly. But Wildsmith and Dawson should know and realise that we want a new keeper and they weren't going to be anywhere near that team. In regards to wing-backs, you've obviously got Palmer, which, again, he's obviously been here a long time. He's a big supporter of the club. And I do like him as a genuine person. I think he's a genuinely nice guy. I've spoken to him a couple of times. And I do genuinely like him. But is he good enough? No. For the first starting 11, or sorry, the first team, or the starting 11, he's not good enough. again, a decent sub because he can play left and right. And he's obviously quite passionate, so you'd be kind of half tempted to keep him. But again, he's not good enough. You look at Penny, who obviously is a little bit young, not really been given a chance. So I can't really comment on Penny, but I don't understand why he's not playing at left back. Because in the pre-season, he was on one of the games, he was the only guy who looked like a bit of a threat. And he was our fucking left back. So that's more of the manager, really. In regards to Penny, again, would he be good enough for Wednesday? I mean, currently, yes. A few seasons ago, probably not. But, again, he is still young. Then you look at the centre-backs. I think Iorfa is a top-class centre-back. And I think we'd be really unlucky to lose him, to be fair. I've always rated Iorfa. He's got that pace. He's an athlete. He can, you know, if he just gets his defensive attributes a little bit better, but he's still young. He's still got an ability and, you know, he's just got that pace to be a Premier League player. But apart from that, our centre-backs are shy. I think Dunkley was a ridiculous signing. I mean, why would you sign someone who broke the leg in two places in February? I mean, obviously they'll come back, but how many players can you think that have actually got better once they've come back from a broken leg? You look at Andre Gomes from Everton. Even before then, he was pretty shit, but now he's wank. You look at Aaron Ramsey. I mean, he broke his leg when he was very young, but he could have been a really top-class player, I think, and I think it stagnated him. Luke Shaw was set to be probably one of the main starting 11 for the England team, and now he's a bit of a fat bastard. And Seamus Coleman. Seamus Coleman had a really good season, the same season that he had had a broken leg. And then broke his leg, and now he's just kind of delving in the background and not good enough for Everton. He's just, when people break the legs or have big injuries, they never come back as good as what they were. I guarantee you. And the problem is that kind of fans and managers all think, oh, well, they'll be all right. They're back to normal now. No, they're fucking not. That's the problem. And so why side Shay Dunkley? Obviously, he seems quite a passionate guy. I can hear him in the games. But again, why would you buy him? Why wouldn't you go for someone a lot more consistent like that Aidan Flynn? That was a genuinely decent signing, I think, but obviously he's fucking injured, which is just our luck, but there you go. But Aidan Flynn is obviously a little bit more proven. Yes, he is a bit past it now, I think, but still probably do a job. Whereas Dunkley was in a relegation team. True, it was Wigan, but still in a relegation team from last season. So, I don't know. I think Tom Lees is past it. I think he's a bit of a pussy hole. I think he really just, someone needs to get into him and go, look, when you were Leuven's, you did really well. You really went for it. You linked well with someone who had a bit more of an experienced head on the shoulders. And now you've taken that role up and you've obviously not done it. We can't obviously keep signing older players because you're getting older yourself. So you either need to step up to the plate or fuck off. And he's obviously not doing it. So Tom Lees is a pussy up. Tom Lees shouldn't have even gone down for that goal, which was, he obviously weren't that injured. He was terrible defending. He's a really bad defender. I mean, again, even when to be fair, he was very consistent when he came in. And in those seasons where he was under Carlos, he was a top quality centre back. He did really well. And I think he could have moved on to a higher team if he carried on. But he's just lost it. He obviously knew that it was Leuven's which was helping him all the way. You look at Van Aken. Again, a guy who I do kind of rate in a way. I think he's done really well to actually be kind of abolished from the team and be put out on loan to a Netherlands team and then actually make it back into it and look better than what he was before. That's good loan usage there. However, is he good enough for Wednesday? Is he good enough to be in the Premier League or compete for a top championship place? I don't think so. Maybe as a sub centre back and, you know, keep bringing him on. I think there's a possible reason for him to stay. I've been relatively impressed with him this season, but overall, it's still frustrating that these players aren't giving it their all, especially the centre backs, where we're hot in that area, and none of them are giving it their all. Now, obviously, there's one guy who I haven't mentioned, which is Adebayo, and if I speak, I might get very angry at him. Very, very angry at him. But we all know what he did last night. And to be fair, he came out and said, oh, obviously, I was just joking about. I was basically saying to Graben, oh, God, that's obviously not going to stand because you've just cropped Tom Lees. It's obviously, like, good chance, but you've fucked it, mate. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit why he did it. It could have been absolutely trying to wind him up and go like, ah, listen, mate, you know what? That was fucking crap. That was such a shit goal, mate. Don't worry about it. Like, you're getting back into the team. You're rubbish, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. You should not, in the situation that we're in, and I'm sure Tony Pulis has probably told him this, is that you cannot, when we are 2-0 down with like 2 minutes to play, you're high-fiving and smiling at the opponents. It doesn't matter what he said. It doesn't matter. He shouldn't have, like, you should be so angry at the opposition that you should not be able to look them in the eyes. Like, the only thing that Adebayo should have done is sparked him out. That's the thing. And it's just, like, even if he didn't actually, like, go up to him and go, oh, rate goal that, mate. I don't care. It doesn't make it any better, in my opinion. And I think a lot of you Wednesday fans out there probably agree with that, is that it's not the action what he did. It's the whole surround, the surrounding bit of it. And it's so frustrating to see a player like that do it. So when we are rock bottom in the league and we need goals and we need to do it and there's nothing to laugh about, and he goes out and fucking does that. And as well, he's useless. He's a useless player. He always plays the ball too much. He's not very good defensively. He obviously works best in a five at the back. He's got a bit of pace. He's an athlete, to be fair to him. He's got a lot of pace. He has got a little bit of decency on the ball. He can cross a little bit. But he is not a footballer. I can do, if I had the pace and I had the fitness of Moses Adebayo, I would be able to do exactly what he does. I guarantee you. He's like Jeremy Hellam when we had him. All pace and no skill about him. That's his problem. And if he's not bothered about being in this team, then there's no point of him playing another game. And personally, if I were Pulis, I would say, you know what? When Monk tried to get rid of you, he was right. I should have got rid of you as well. I should have left you on transfer market, left you out in the cold. It don't matter how pacey you are. It don't matter how much we need pace or how good you are. You staying out of this team. You are not in this team ever again. So, he's just a liability. A liability. Now, coming on to the midfield, you look at players like Luongo. Obviously, I think that Luongo has probably been one of his best players this season because he's quite consistent. He's a bit of a bulldog. But he's always fucking injured. He's always injured. Last season, we obviously missed him because he's a very good player. But why really be, like, focusing on a guy that can't last 90 minutes in a game? He's always knackered. He's always not fully fit. And a chance at injury. And so why didn't you go with someone else? Like Hutchinson. Hutchinson was a perfect example. He was always injured. So why rely on him for such a long time? It doesn't matter how fucking good he is. People need to get around their heads that with players, if they're always injured, there's no point in having him because they're never going to play at the top quality. You might as well get rid of him and go with someone a little bit more consistent. Obviously, you've got to cut out the shite like Pelupessi, because Pelupessi is basically a poor man's Luongo. Pelupessi is obviously never injured, he's quite fit, but you've got to find the balance between the two. You don't want a good player who's always injured, who's just like rinsing a wage or someone who's shy but are consistent. You need to find that balance. Now, to be fair, last night, Pelly Percy and Liam Shaw played quite tidily. They didn't do anything wrong. Obviously, Liam Shaw passed the ball around quite well. He's obviously a little bit young. And again, shouldn't really be anywhere near our team at the moment. They need loan. Him and Hunt need to get loaned out. We cannot rely on Hughes as well for the position that we're in. If we had the team that we had when we nearly got promoted and we had Carlos, having Liam Shaw and Alex Hunt on the sidelines, he's probably a little bit of a thing, you know, every so often one player might get rested a little bit and you bring him on and on and work in a team that is confident, passes the ball well. And both those players would work in a team, especially in that team where it's a 4-3-3, where Alex Hunt could play a little bit like the Barry Bannon role and Liam Shaw could play the Hutchinson role that we had, you know, and not completely putting all the pressure on them. Same with Urogady. Urogady's not really getting a game, which I feel a bit sorry for him because I think he's fucking better than Odabajo. I think at least he'll have a bit more passion and things like that than him, for Christ's sake. But yeah, Liam Shaw and Alex Hunt look good, but are they worth the game time now when we are rock bottom and like 7 points adrift or 6 points, whatever? No, absolutely not. We've got Barry Bannon in midfield on his own, who's, to be fair, he was creating a lot of chances last night, but because there's nobody up front and there's no one else to help him out, he's losing the ball all the time. So, there'll be sooner or later where he'll stop trying to make those passes and players will stop trying to make those runs and we're going to create less and less chances, even if there is a fucking chance of doing that. Because last night we had zero attempts in a hole, like not even on target and not off target and on target. We had zero in the second half last night against Forest. That's how much we are creating. We are creating nothing. And the only person that's got a chance of creating something is Barry Bannon. Barry Bannon is the only guy, and he can't do it all on his own. You look at England, when they play Declan Rice and Eric Dyer in that centre defensive mid role, it doesn't work because you're having two players who do the same thing. You're just wasting a position. Maybe if you were against, I don't know, maybe if Wednesday versus Manchester City, then maybe you probably would just to back it up a little bit. But when we're against Nottingham Forest, who hasn't won a game in the like 7 games, you've got to fucking go for it, man. I know that obviously Pelle Pessy and Liam Shaw were probably the best options at the time, but why not? And obviously I've just been talking about Alex Hunt trying to loan him out, but at least Alex Hunt has got more of a chance of creating something than probably what Liam Shaw and Pelle Pessy, because they're not that type of player. Barry Bannon is on his own trying to do everything in that midfield three, and it's just not working. And I do feel sorry for a bit for Barry. But again, he's obviously getting a little bit past it now and needs to... We need more players in midfield to create those chances for the minimum strikers that we've got. So we come to the attacking side of the team, or, well, I don't even know what attackers we actually have, actually. But if you think about Marriott, who's injured, he didn't look good enough. It was a stupid signing from Gary Monk. A complete waste of time, that one. You've got Windass, who, to be fair, looks the most likely of scoring a goal this season in every game, because he's probably the only guy who can score with his feet. But the problem is that he's not a striker. Josh Windass is not a striker. He would probably play better in a midfield three where he's the attacking midfielder and you've got Barry Bannon and then a defensive midfielder in front and then three people in front of him. That's his best role. So we're playing him up front on his own and everyone's trying to bomb it up to him over the top when he's about 5'10", 5'9". I mean, it's not going to fucking work. And then we've obviously got Patterson, who has got a little bit of height, but he's obviously not as good as in the air as what Nuiu was. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'd love Nuiu back. I really, really would. Honestly, I would die for him to come back. God. But Patterson, honestly, he looks like a Sunday league player. Like, he even looks like he's won a competition to play for Wednesday for a day. Like, he just messes about. He's obviously not a striker. He started out as a left back and someone changed into a fucking striker. And now Tony Pulis isn't even playing him as a striker, really, which is the most annoying thing. So the only kind of proper striker we've got, we aren't even playing as a striker. And if we're just having him up front on his own, he's not doing a lot. And then he tries these stupid long throw-ins, which is like trying to do the Rory Delap throw, like what Tony Pulis did at Stoke, which every time it's happened, it's not got to any single Wednesday player. Every single time he's done it, we've not done anything from it. Because the only guy that can get ahead on it is the guy who's throwing the fucking ball. We've got people like Josh Windass and Barry Bannon trying to attempt to head over 6'4", 6'3" centre-backs, which is just not going to work. You've got, if you move on to the wider things, you've got Kadeem Harris, who's, again, putting a bit more of a striking role or an up-front role, which I think is better than what Monk were playing him as. And again, when we took Kadeem Harris off last night, we actually looked worse than better. But he's a one-trick pony. All he does is he's cut inside, try and do that little overlap skill and then fucking crosses it in, and obviously no one's there to head it home or anything like that, so he's pretty useless at the moment. He's got a bit of pace, but other than that, he's pretty useless. I think he could be good, but I mean, I don't know. He needs more assistance. A lot of players do. I think Reach, a lot of people hate Reach. I've always tried to stick up for him a lot, because I do see a player in him. I think he's the best crosser of a ball that we've got by an absolute country mile. I think that he's got a good chance of scoring. He's always got a goal in him, even though he's not a striker. But he don't know where he plays. And he's probably the biggest pussy hole I have ever seen on a football pitch. He runs like Chris Kirkland when Chris Kirkland were in net. And he never, ever goes in for a challenge. He never attempts it. And he wanted to play left wing back. He just literally stands there. Like, he gets beat on the ball all the time. And the problem is that Reach needs to play in a very confident team, and because he delves away into games, he loses track of the games. And some games he goes and plays and you never ever see him. I think there is a player in there, but we need someone, a manager, to get it out of him. I mean, there's obviously some players that I've forgot here because I'm just going on a massive rant about all the players, but you've got players like Kachunga, who we tried to sign as a striker, not good enough. You've got Izzy Brown, who's too fat. I'm thinner than Izzy Brown. And to be fair, Izzy Brown is a fat bastard and he got beat on the ball about 3 or 4 times last night. He gets beat off so easy. You've got Rhodes, who obviously can't be bothered to be there anymore. Pulis only gives him 15 minutes ago now, takes him off after 10 minutes. Even when he starts, and Rhodes is obviously past it again, trying to play a role that he's not suited to. He plays better when he's got a big man up next to him. When he did well at Forest, he played well because Fletcher was next to him. Fletcher were taking that head down and knocking it down. And he's those players that we've got now, like Marriott, Windass, Patterson. Are they better than Nuiu, Fletcher and Forestieri? And no. And to be fair, Nuiu were wank. He never scored. And Forestieri didn't want to play. And Fletcher were like 40. So, Christ, it's gone so backwards. The players, I've got to admit, they probably do care in a way. They don't look like they care, but they probably do, because money's behind it. You know, if they get relegated, they lose money. So it doesn't matter if they hate Wednesday or they love Wednesday when they play for him. You play for the, if you're a football player, you play for the money. Like, even if I play for Sheffield United, I'd, in the Premier League right now, I'd be wanting them to stay up, because I know that if we got relegated, I'd have to take a pay cut, which I don't fucking want, even though I'm a Wednesday fan. So that's, they obviously do care, but they don't care about the club, which is the problem. But they care, well, in a way they care about the club, but not the fans and the actual football team itself. They care about the money and they care about the players that they play with, because they kind of probably mates. They might not care about the manager, which I definitely saw last night. And that brings me very nicely onto the manager, Tony Pulis. Now, when me and James Fisher did the podcast a couple episodes ago, we were talking about Pulis, and I asked him the question, Gary Monk or Tony Pulis? And he said, Tony Pulis. And I probably agreed, because everyone were a bit sick of Monk. I think Monk came across as a bit of a prick sometimes, which he is. But he weren't getting the results. And Tony Pulis is known for keeping teams up. So I thought, you know, he's probably not going to get us loads of wins, but he'll get us a few 1-0s and, you know, just scraping through and stop those late and last minute goals all the time. Nope, that absolutely did not happen. It was it was an absolute disgrace last night. Tony Pulis football obviously doesn't work anymore. It didn't really ever used to work, but he's a dinosaur type manager. And to be fair, even though I think they were right to sack Gary Monk at the time, I generally believe that from the time of Gary Monk getting sacked to now, I think Monk would have picked up more points than one Pulis would. I think minimum six, possibly eight, that Gary Monk probably would have picked up in this time. I think that Gary Monk would have got a little bit back from the team. Probably not enough, but we wouldn't be in this bad of a position. We haven't won a game in 9 games. Tony Pulis has not won a game since he's come in charge. That's how bad it is. He is playing over-the-top, lump-it-forward football, boring football, which obviously the fans don't like watching. The players can't play to, because we don't have the players. I understand in a way that Pulis is struggling because he's got players that are not his. Gary Monk signings have been the pain of that. So I do feel sorry for him in that way. But you can't just stick to the same routine for every single team, because teams are different, players are different, the club is different. Like, you look at teams like Barcelona, is that you come into their team and you've got to play this tiki-taka type football. You go to Stoke and it's more hard and very tall type players. Leeds have always been known for being a little bit dirty and tackling a bit. United at the moment, Sheffield United at the moment, they're seen as a bit of an attacking side. You know, they have these type of manifestos in their team that they have to work with. And Wednesday don't have anything. They just kind of go, oh, well, I don't know. We're just all over the shop. I don't know where anybody plays. Everybody don't really have a position. You look at players who don't really have a solid position. You have Patterson. You have Josh Windass. You have Adam Reach. You have Kachunga. You have Liam Palmer. The list goes on. All those players and more don't have a specific place every game. And players like that don't do as well. You look at Phil Jones for Man United. He did that. His biggest problem is that he couldn't work out where he was a centre defensive midfielder, a right back, or a centre back. You look the same with Eric Dyer. Currently, Eric Dyer's just about probably found his right feet. But would they have been better players if they thought, right, I'm 18 years old now, I'm going to go for a centre-back and that's it, that's where I'm staying. Those type of players who pick a position at an early age and stick with it, they're the better players. Now, obviously, Phil Jones and Eric Dyer probably aren't the best players and probably wouldn't be even if they kind of did that. But the confusion and the chopping and changing, they become like a jack-of-all-trades and the master of none. You look at Adam Reach. Adam Reach always wanted to play on one, like, on the midfield, but he was obviously not good enough. He was too crap on the ball and lost it too much to do that. He was better at the wing. Like Forestieri, he was the same. He was best at left wing, but he always wanted to play that behind-the-striker role. The reason why he didn't want to play left wing is because he had to do work and he was too lazy to do it. That was his problem. But you see, that is the thing. is that these players are all over the shop. But I remember the Rotherham game where we lost 3-0. Rotherham were very good, but we were just, we obviously didn't give it a try. We were all over the place. We didn't know what was going on. And to be fair, that was under Gary Monk, so that's not Tony Pulis's fault. But with Pulis, he's got a massive challenge. And again, if I was Chancellor, I think, right, okay, he hasn't won a game, and we're going into a January transfer window, and he's obviously pressing all these things like, oh, we've got six defenders and only like no left backs or one left back, and it's just so disjointed, and we need help. And I'd be like, well, okay, that's fair enough. That's Gary Monk's fault for being a complete retard, but with you, why am I going to give you the option and the commitment for that? Why am I going to give you the finance and the backing to bring in those players? You haven't won me a game. We are rock bottom and virtually going to go down. So why am I going to give you the chance to rectify things in the January transfer window? For me, if I was him, I'd give him until the 1st of January. If he's not won a game, see you later, Pulis, because even I think that even giving it to Bullen would be better. I don't think Bullen is a manager. I don't think he's very good. He's obviously fucked it up before. And, you know, people call out for a manager and say, we need a manager, blah, blah, blah. But where's that got us? It's got us nowhere better or worse. So, you know, it's just chaotic. And as the chairman has to take responsibility for all this. The reason why Wednesday is so disjointed, why we've got so many injuries, why we've been in financial debt, why we've been fucked for all this time since 2016, is all because of one man. He stemmed from it. Is he the main reason? I'm not sure. Even though it stemmed from him, because obviously he's brought in those managers. And he's obviously, to be fair to Chancellor, he's put a lot of fucking money in this club. And all these fans that are out there saying, like, Chancellor needs to go, blah, 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 they don't know the backing that he's put in this club. And to be fair, he's done it in a bad way, and I understand that. But you look at Steve Bruce, who could have stayed on. You look at Gary Monk. You know, it doesn't matter. All these players could, on the day, be very, very good players. There's no reason why, you look a year ago, we were third. There's no reason why, there's not many differences in this team. There's no reason why we can't be third again, even with the managers and stuff that we've got. He's put his faith in these people, these managers and these players, and it's not worked. But the problem is that with that, he can reap the rewards or, you know, get a bollocking from the fan base. And I do understand in a way why people want Chancellor out, but the problem is that football is a business these days. As I said in one of the previous podcasts, football is going backwards. They're not clubs anymore. They're starting to become businesses owned by business owners who do best for themselves to make a profit. You know, the main aim is to buy low, sell high, is to get a lower down team into the Premier League. And the only people that can do that now is wealthy people. So if Chancellor said, yeah, you know what? Everyone's doing my head in. I've got death threats, blah, blah, blah. I can't be arsed with this. I'm not spending any more money. I'm selling up. Bye-bye. Then what's the difference of somebody else just being just as bad as him coming in? There could be a very similar example. You look at all these business owners, and however nicey-nicey they might look from the outside, on the inside, they're all the same. They're all these people who are just trying to make a buck for themselves. The only problem is that you only, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. If it does work, these business owners can delve into the background and not really get a lot of the limelight, and all the fans are in the Premier League. Well, the club's in the Premier League, so all the fans are like, "Hey, there we go. But, you know, everything's perfect, blah, blah, blah." But when things go tits up, that's when the fans start to turn on you. And I think everybody's got to own up to themselves. You know, the players, the manager and the owner. And obviously, it's not really going to happen that where Chance Wright goes, right, all players are sacked, manager's sacked, and I'm leaving, and you can start again. That doesn't happen. That can't happen. But the problem is, you've got to start from the beginning again in a different way. You've got to kind of get the fans back on side. You've got to think, right, well, worst case scenario, if we go down, you've got to think, right, okay, we're going to sign a manager. We're going to play attacking football. We're going to make all these, you know, kits cheaper, season tickets cheaper, to get fans back on our side, to give a little bit more positivity to at least the profit of the club. And with that, things can happen. But I don't know. It's frustrating, and I think everybody agrees with me, is that now that the realisation that there is a good chance we're going to go down, there is a chance that this is it, and we've completely ballsed it up. You know, four or five seasons ago, we were one game away from the Premier League, and now we're half a season away from League One. It's the only kind of silver lining is that United are doing as shit as us, just in a better league. But I don't know. I don't know what to say. I just feel like I had to rant about it all. These are obviously me just moaning. It's not going to do anything. But hopefully my anger can portray some of your guys' anger as well. And even if somebody hears this that's part of the Wednesday Club, need to realise it. All they need to do now is focus on the fans and give it an absolute go. But unfortunately, the manager that we've got will not chop and change. I think the better chance is to the chairman to go, right, Monk's out. We're going to bring a manager in who is just going to get a positive reaction. Maybe don't play the best football, but someone who is attacking, who is committed to the club in some way. You know, someone who might be a Wednesday fan or has played for Wednesday before or whatever. Someone to give it a chance. And then and that manager to go, right, everybody who's not in this, leave this room now. The players that are going to play are the people that are most passionate about it and that's going to give it their all. And we're going to play attacking football and we're going to go for it every game. And if we lose 5-0, we're going to go down fighting. We're going to look good losing 5-0, which is easier said than done. But if you do not play well, you are out of the team and you are not coming back. Someone like Steve Bracknell, that's who we fucking need. Come on, Steve, get on it, man. But there you go. That's my rant. Again, as I say, I've always been about positivity and I hate ranting like that and I hate swearing as much as what I have done there. But I feel like it had to be put out there. And at the moment, everything's pretty bleak. This year's been pretty shy. And to be fair, Wednesday's just putting the final nail in the coffin for me and probably a lot of other people. But, well, there you go. At least you could probably take away a little bit of something from there, just the anger of the fans. And Mr. Positivity has gone Mr. Neggy for a little bit. But I just want to say sorry for that, for moaning for such a long time. But hopefully it gives you a little bit of a laugh, me moaning at least. But there you go. So thank you, everybody, for listening again. It's only been a short one. It's just been a bit of a rant, this one. But thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll make sure to do a Christmas special in or around Christmas time, which might be a little bit more positive, hopefully. But I'm still going to say it. Up the Owls. Bye-bye.